You know, it's interesting how God takes and puts together a chapel service, anything that you do. It's so interesting. I come up here, and there's two words that we're going to look at today. But the music, especially this last song, just spoke to it in just volumes. And what I'm going to do is just kind of go through these two words utilizing two men in the Bible, in the Old Testament. A third one, if I get time. I probably won't get time because I've been known to be a little long-winded. But the president took it, talked about DR. And he did just as good as I could tell you about it. And until you actually take and say, okay, I will go. Sign me up. You really won't know the depths of it until you get onto the field. I didn't know that until I started helping missionaries. And we actually closed up our construction business for 3 months and went over to the country of Zambia and helped that missionary put his house in order and build a church, remodel the church, and do several service projects and work with the indigenous people over there. You just don't know until you take and step out onto that limb of faith and trust God all the way. And if he doesn't do something for you, that limb breaks, you're going to go down. But you know what? He's still there. He's going to catch you someplace along the way. So what I want you to do is I want you to take it, and we're going to start in the book of Deuteronomy. And that's going to be over in chapter 34, verse 5. We're going to talk about two men, Moses and Joshua. One just ending up his service, the other one more or less just starting. The two words I want to take and talk about today is reputation and legacy. Can anybody tell me what the definition of reputation would be? What you're known for. You guys are going to have to talk to me because this is how I do my teaching back at the church, okay? If you don't talk to me, I'm going to take this mic off and I'm going to come right up right beside you and tap you on the shoulder. Okay? I'm pretty good at that. So reputation, what you known for? Yes, sir?
Other people's opinions.
Other people's opinions. Opinions of yourself, if you're building the reputation, correct? Okay. Anything else? Reputation. Word reputation. Can that be both good and bad? Yeah, it could, couldn't it? Very easily. What about legacy? They kind of go hand in hand, and I'll tell you why. How about legacy? Okay, good. Okay, so what's going to happen as you're taking and working through your college days, you take a good start into whatever you're going to do for full-time servers, what are you building there? Reputation or legacy? Very good. Yes, that's exactly what you're doing. You're building both. Okay, right now you're building a reputation, but the thing is, what you want to do is you want to be able to leave a legacy.
So that, and I look at it because I'm quite a bit older than a good portion of you, but I look at it as I've got 9 grandchildren. I look at those 9 grandchildren, and I want to be able to know that they have a clear path by looking at their grandparents' life of how to take and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and how to follow Him. Okay, the two men that we're going to look at, let's look at Deuteronomy 34. Verse 5, and if my voice cracks, I'll tell you what, I am just shaking up here. I don't do this a whole lot in this type of arena. I'll do it more or less, you know, 4 or 5 people. And every once in a while, I'll take a deep breath and just say, Lord, calm me down. Because I can get wired. Okay, Moses, if we look at 34, starting at verse 5, it says, so Moses, servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And then if we take a skip 6, because God took care of him, but the thing is, I want you to take a look at verse 7 and then 8. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim. Do you get that? How old was he? 120 years old. So that means if we have people in our church around 80 and 85, 90, you know, and they're still moseying along and stuff like that, but yet they still have a lot of cricks and groans and stuff like that, but they're still moving along, still serving God, aren't they? Okay, that's what they're saying. Right here is that Moses was 120 years old and his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. So God had to take him out. He was still strong. He was still going. He was still teaching. So God had taken and say, Moses, it's your end. You're not going to take and go into the promised land. It's done, okay? So you just come home with me. But otherwise than that, Moses had the force, the natural force, to keep on going. Who gave that to him? Come on, talk to me. God gave that to him. God gave that to him. Okay, if we take and look down in verse 9, this is when Moses has to step down and give somebody else the leadership. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened on him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. But I want you to see this in verse 10. And there arose not. What's that say? Not. Not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his service and to all his land, and all that the mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. That's quite a reputation. That's quite a legacy to leave behind, isn't it? How about if we just had half that? But I wanted to shake and show you something else here with another man. Who was it that was supposed to take over from Moses? Joshua. And if we take and go over into the book of Joshua, chapter 1, 1 through 9, it's pretty interesting. I want you to take and put yourself in Joshua's shoes. Who are you taking over from? You're taking over from a guy that took and parted the Red Sea, brought flies. And was that person that brought them out of Egypt, across the desert. Yes, God was there. God was doing all of that. But he was using that human instrument who was called Moses. I want you to look at verse 2. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto land which I gave to them, even to the children of Israel. God is telling him, move. I want you to take over. I want you to lead these people. Now understand what's there. What are the people? Remember back in the story? Who has died off? All the warriors, except for two. Right? There was only who? Joshua and Caleb. There was only two left. There are only two warriors. So these are basically young people. If you do your math, they're probably about 60 years old, you know, 60 on down. But they're still young people. Thank you. Yes, we're still young, right? We're still young people. And then you've got Joshua, who is somewhere around 80, and he's taking over. These people have never been to war. They have no idea what it is. They're servants to boot. And if you were in Joshua's shoes, saying, I am supposed to go across this Jordan with these people and go to war and take Jericho and take this land, what are you thinking, God? What are you thinking? So let's read the rest of 9, and we'll just take and unpack it a little bit. 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's a pretty powerful passage. Let me ask you this. If God took and talked to you like that, Would you be ready to go? Huh? Would you be ready to go any place he told you to go? Would you step out onto all those waters out there? Would you go to Zambia? Would you go to the country of Moldova? Would you serve over there? Would you leave everything that you know back here in the United States and just say, God, I'm your vessel, use me. So we've got this transfer of leadership going. This young man has kind of a good reputation right now because he was one of the 12 that Moses sent into the wilderness, over into this promised land to spy it out, right? Him and Caleb took and came back with what? Good reports. Everybody else is shaking in their boots, even after all of the stuff that they brought back. Said there's giants in the land. And we can't take it. In verses 2 through 9 that we just read, you saw that Joshua takes and gets his commissioning. And like we said before, Israel was slaves and they were servants. They were not warriors. So what has he got to work with? You kind of look at it and say, I'm not going to do this. He could have had that choice. He could have said that. But God took and gave him this pep talk in verses 3-9. Not only that, but the Jordan River was what? It was in flood stage. I don't know about you guys, but I'll tell you what, I've seen floods. And I would not want to be, ouch, in one of those floods. And even think about crossing it. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But there was a land to inherit. Okay, that was a plus. There was a land to inherit for all of Israel. Yes, there was giants in the lands. But God just told me that there's not going to be a man that's going to stand before me. So this is probably going to take care of it. Hope. I pray. And there's milk and honey in that land. So it's prosperous for my nation. There's a lot of land. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river and the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun. What do you think? Think that's a pretty good sized nation? How many of you got study Bibles? You know, in the back there's a map section. Take a look at that. Take a look at what they did, where they traveled, how many thousands of miles. That was all theirs. All they had to do is take it. He's also looking at us in verse 3 and 4. He's also looking at us. This is a place that the nation of Israel can settle down and be a nation, no longer nomads, no longer taking going to and fro. In verses 5 and 6, let's look at a couple of promises to Joshua. Right to Joshua that God had in this commission. In verse 5, it says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee. How long? How long? All the days of what? So that doesn't mean that he didn't have trouble. He had trouble all over the place. But what did that mean? That mean there wasn't going to be a man that would stand against him and win all the days of his life. So what about some of you? Let's take and unpack that to you guys. Some of you are going to become seniors, and you're going to take and move out of here, right? Hopefully everybody. And you're going to move out of here, and you're going to go into service someplace. Well, let me just say that this the pastor in this back here has pretty big shoes. How about if you guys were to take and go to Mr. Stedman and say, I want to be assistant pastor in your church? Would God be with you? Following that man? He's got pretty big shoes to follow, doesn't he? It's just like Joshua. Joshua had big shoes to fill with Moses. But he gave him a promise. I'll be with you always. Not a man will stand before you. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. And you think about the story of Moses, flashbacks all over the place. How strongly was that face-to-face communication with Moses and God? I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Those are promises to Joshua. Are those promises that we can claim today? Why don't we go more out onto the fields? Why don't we go to Africa? Why don't we take and go to all the other countries? More and more. Because we don't look at this. There's not going to be a man that's going to be able to stand before you because God is there with you. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. I will be there with you all the time. Look at 6. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance. There's a promise, another promise. You're going to take and divide that inheritance. It's going to happen. Do you think that encouraged Joshua? It would encourage me. You know, I something was going to take place, right? You know, either God was going to take and show these guys how to fight, or God was going to do the fighting. And you know the story. A little bit of both happened, right? And in verse 7, it takes and goes just a little bit more for encouragement. Only be thou strong and very courageous. A little different take. Why? Courage is what? Courage is noun. Have courage. But courageous is what? What is it, English people? Is that a good guess, or is that what it is? No, you're right. It is an adjective, but it's also a verb, which means it's what? Come on, people. What? It's what? It's action. It's action. So God is telling him to take and be courageous. Have the action to it. But the thing is, let's look at the rest of the story here. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to what? What's it say there? According to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper with whithersoever thou go. So be courageous enough to take God's word. Wherever you go, stand on God's word, spread it. And what's going to happen? God's going to take and strengthen him with wisdom, and he's going to take and prosper his way. I want you to take a look at verse 9. In verse 9, it says, have not I commanded thee? Whoa. Let's back up here. One through seven and eight, basically you're just taking, telling me if I do all of this stuff, these things will happen. I can become courageous. I'll know the book of the law. I'll meditate on it. I'll do what it says according to what's written. I'll be prosperous. I'll have good success. But he changes something here. What's he change? Word commanded. Word commanded. What does that mean? What does that mean? It is an order. Mm-hmm. It is mandatory. It was mandatory. Okay, Joshua's ears pricked. Just a little bit. Okay, God, this in an order. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. There it is again. Be of good courage. Be strong. Don't be afraid. You guys are going to take over sometime. It's like stepping up onto this podium in front of you guys. Guess what? Some of us have to be of good courage. Some of us have to be strong. Why? Because we have a message. God has commanded us to bring this message. But here's something else. It says, neither be thou dismayed. What is that?
Don't worry.
Don't be downhearted. But God, you don't know. I've got C's. You know, I've got to take and bring my grades up. How do I do that? What's he say, everybody? Don't be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whither thou goest. So in verse 10, we find out that Joshua takes over, makes his first command, and then it's all over from there, right? There is one thing I want to take you and leave you with. We saw Moses end up his life. How'd he do that? He left a huge legacy, didn't he? Now, who just took over Joshua? And if we've taken and read the book of Joshua through, there's all kinds of stuff in between. They take a bunch of cities. They fail at Ai. But why'd they fail at Ai? Because there was sin in the camp. There was sin in the camp. So what happens if the sin gets into this camp? What happens if sin gets into this college? What happens? Can it spread? Yeah, it can. Can it make things fail? It did for Joshua and the Israelites. Okay, what I want you to do is we're going to take a look at the very last chapter of Joshua 24. And Joshua wrote these words. Okay, now Joshua is about ready to leave. He's about done his service. They're going to take over. It's where the book of Judges come in. Judges are going to take over the leading of the nation of Israel. It says, then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. So he left a monument, an actual monument behind, but I want to show you something else. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance. Yeah, in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served. I want you to listen to this one. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua and which had known all the works of the Lord and that he had done for Israel. So the whole nation is written here that underneath Joshua's service and his command, all of Israel served the Lord. All of Israel served the Lord. That was his legacy. What about you folks? I look across your young faces. You're just starting out. You are just starting now. Why would I take and bring something up like this? You guys don't, well, what do I need this for? One day, you will look back. Say, what have I done for God? What is my legacy? What am I known for? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that we can be encouraged by, that we can be strengthened by, that we can be taught by. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is with us all the time, that you sent to teach and guide us through your words and through this life. Lord, as we take and go out and do our service for you, guide and direct us. Give us the wisdom and knowledge that we need. Use us as clean vessels, Father. In Jesus' name.